Hi, everyone. I'm Elizabeth Reyes, Grateful Al-Anon, which includes the Worldwide Fellowship of Alatan as well. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you guys for being here and being excited about concepts, because if you're like me, they're probably this giant puzzle that we're all trying to figure out as we go along. A little bit of my service experience. My home group is Principles Above Personalities. It meets in Phoenix, where I literature study. I started the service work as, you know, being a literature person. I've done treasurer. I've done everything in the group level. I've been a GR. I've been an alternate district rep. From there, I did a convention chair for our area. And after that, I've been doing Spanish coordinator for our area. So that's a little bit of my service experience. I know that we normally tie the concepts to service in general. I myself, I'm trying to get to the point in the concepts where they get to translate a little bit more into my personal life. But most of my experience of the concepts have been in a service structure. This was, very funny, because my goal this year was to try to study the concepts, and I've been trying to get together with one of my best friends in program, but we have very different schedule, so it's been very hard to get together to study the concepts. And then I got this email, you've been invited to share, and it's about the concepts. I was like, better study up now. So I just hope to do my best. And what came to me was that it's just about the basic, you know, how can I make this as simple as possible so that it can be digestible? And what came to me was, you know, the concepts are about a process, just like the steps are a process, just like the traditions are a process. We work the steps for ourselves, you know, to keep us from that, you know, distorted thinking that could affect our lives. We do that in the groups by applying the traditions. And so the concepts for me is that process that enables us to keep our personalities aside and our defects aside so that we can function as a whole, as an organization, which is, you know, the WSO or Al-Anon as an organization itself. That's the way that understood it, and it made sense. Also, a friend of mine from Tucson said, you know, if you look at the steps for yourself, the traditions between you and other people, think of the concepts as, you know, maybe family to family. You know, how were you family? What tools do you need as a family to deal with maybe your in-laws? So that made it very easy for me to grasp. So I'm just going to do... I hope to be a brief rundown of the concepts. I realized that just by reading them, I might take the 25 minutes, because they're pretty lengthy. And I'll just give you my interpretation of it, the most basic interpretation that I can, so that it's, you know, more manageable to grasp. So we'll start with concept one, and it says, the ultimate responsibility and authority for Al-Anon World Services belongs to the Al-Anon groups. To me, simply, this means that everything starts with the group, originates with the groups, and all of the structure of Al-Anon is accountable to the groups. If you guys have seen that service manual, you know, you could see we have the upside down triangle, which means, you know, everything stems from the groups. And there's a lot of power in that. There's a lot of power in knowing that us as a group have the power to change things within the big organization that is Al-Anon. So to me, that was very neat. In the concept of relationships, you know, it just means that everybody in that relationship has a responsibility. And that just means, you know, you don't get to slack off. You know, you're accountable. And to me, that was very neat. Concept two. The Al-Anon family groups have delegated complete administrative and operational authority to their conference and its service arms. So now, you know, the groups, we have all this, I don't want to say power, but we have this responsibility. We have all these things that we need to take care of for ourselves. And because we have this great responsibility, we get to share that by delegating it. So to me, that was the simplest way to understand that. And we do that by giving that, we share some of that load with, you know, when we send our delegates to conference, and all the service arms that entails. In a personal context, you know, everybody in the relationship has a responsibility. If it gets too big, we could always share that with somebody else. That way we don't, you know, get burned out or get overwhelmed or what have you. We get to share that. And I like, you know, from the pamphlet, it says, faith in the groups and the harmony can be achieved to determining the group conscience of all members. So what that says to me is that in order for me to delegate responsibility, it's very important for me to articulate what is it that we need, what is it that we want to accomplish so that we can make sure that those goals get met. So that was my understanding on concept two. Concept three, the right of decision makes effective leadership possible. And I'll read the first paragraph. Being allowed to make appropriate decisions, to act freely without being hassled or second-guessed, gives dignity to the person who is doing a job. Giving that freedom, bestowing that confidence, is a measure of maturity on the part of the other people involved. This freedom to experience, to exercise judgment and trust, which permits it, are the core concept, is the core of concept three. So that means that we have, so as a groups, we have power. We get to share some of that with the conference. And not only do we know that we get to share that with them, but we give it to them. It's almost like a step three. It's almost like, you know, you don't get to get it back, which we sometimes do. But that just means to me that, you know, in trusting them to do their job, we show them that we have trust. We show them that they could do a good job. You know, and it says mutual trust, and I think that could be applied in our personal relationships as well. You know, if I ask you to do a job, I'm not just going to, you know, say, oh, you know what, you're not doing it right or whatever. You know, there's trust. I'm going to trust that you are going to do it right. And if I don't think you're going to do it right, it's my responsibility to also let you know what the expectation is, so that we know what we're trying to accomplish here. So to me, that was very important. Concept four, which probably everybody's most familiar with because it's probably the most understandable, participation is the key to harmony. We did a convention in our area on this concept, and it's very self-explanatory. You know, you can't, like they say, you don't win unless you play. You know, we need everybody to be involved. We don't know what the group conscience is until we get everybody involved in the process. In the pamphlet, it reads, there are no superiors or inferiors. No class is set on an absolute authority over another. To make such a participatory method of doing business work, there must be a great deal of respect for one another. Not a childlike, abject respect for authority figure, but respect for the rights of other individuals. Recognizing the spiritual need to belong, the principle of participating has been built into our whole service structure. Respectful, self-disciplined consideration of every other member and group of members will give everyone the right to participate in the service Al-Anon and so assure harmony. Being a member or participating in district work, sometimes it could be discouraging, because we can go to other meetings where there aren't any GRs, or they may have GRs, but they don't participate at a district level. And to me, this is what this concept is about. It's very hard for us. It's very hard to hear when groups are sharing that their needs are not being met, but at the same time, we don't see them participating. We don't see them at intergroup. We don't see them coming to district meetings. We don't see them, you know, at area events. So concept four really says, you know, we want you to be involved. We want to know what you need. We want to know, you know, how to make this work so that we could not only just represent you, but represent the organization as a whole. You're a very important part of our structure. We need you to be here. So, you know, just to recap, you know, the groups have responsibilities because we have it. We get to share it. Now that we share it, I give you the authority to do whatever you would like with that. In order for you to do with that, we need you guys to come together and participate. The concept that follows is concept five. The rights of appeal and petition protect the minorities and assure that they be heard. That is pretty, I think, self-explanatory. And to me, this is a very important concept. We had an example of this recently in one of our assemblies. Being a Spanish coordinator, we had the opportunity to create a second Spanish district in Tucson, Arizona. And you would think, or we assume, I should say, that everyone will be all for having a Spanish district. And there were votes opposing that at assembly. And we asked for the minority opinion. Now, no one came up to the mic and said the minority opinion. Because to me, it was important to hear what might have been the barriers or why were folks maybe not on board on this. Because maybe there was more information that we didn't account for. But to me, this is a very, you know, important process, part of the process, especially when we get to deal with diverse areas. I know that for Phoenix, we have some minority areas, including Spanish-speaking language and Native Americans. And for us, this is a very, as small as they are, they're a very significant part of our fellowship that we always need to continue to reach out to. Also in our home groups, when we have our group conscience meetings, when we have our business meetings, when we're trying to adopt something new in our home group, we make sure that we ask the newcomers. Because we want to know, you know, being a newcomer, does this attract you? Or does this say, you know, I want to run out the door? For us, that's very important information that we need to know, because sometimes most of our biggest ideas come from minority opinion. So that is step five, concept five. Concept six, the conference acknowledges the primary administrative responsibility to the trustees. So groups delegate to conference. So this means the conference also gets to delegate, and they do this to the, they delegate their administrative responsibilities to the trustees. Trustees, in a general sense, they deal with the business and legal part of the organization. Conference deal with the spiritual principles of the program and the traditions. So to me, this is just a trickle-down effect of what delegating can do. Because I delegate, you also have the right to delegate. And in turn, it makes a lot of the work that needs to be done in Al-Anon be more effective, because we're giving people responsibility. We're giving people the trust to do a job. Just like when you have a home group and your group starts growing and you get to develop new service positions for folks. This is exactly what happens in our service structure. It just means we give folks more opportunities to be of service, more folks more opportunity to get all the work done that needs to be done in Al-Anon. Concept seven, the trustees have legal rights while the rights of the conference are traditional. So this is just expanding on the previous concept. Conference deals with the spiritual principles and the trustees deal with the business and legal aspects. And it's neat when my delegate comes, and we call it a delegate's day, when our delegate comes and she reports on the week-long business that they do at WSO. To me, it's always fascinating how they merge the spiritual principles of this program with the business that needs to be done, whether it's budget or mortgage or money. It's always interesting to me to see how they merge all these two, because we need both of them. We could be spiritual all day long, but we also need good business sense to keep this organization doing what it does. Concept eight, the Board of Trustees delegates full authority to routine management of the Al-Anon headquarters and its executive committees. So that this delegating principle again, the groups delegate to conference to, you know, trustees to headquarters and executive committees. So what do these executive committees do? Well, this deals with, you know, they deal with a lot, actually. They deal with legal powers. They deal with budget. They deal with allotting. They deal with international coordinating. They deal with financing. And so it's just a breakdown of responsibility. We have all these different areas that you would never think of the Al-Anon as an organization as a whole would be in charge of, but because we have grown so large as a fellowship, we need all these service arms to break all these responsibilities to. So just like the groups delegate, so does the conference gets to delegate, so do the trustees get to delegate. And so we just follow the concept along so that we make sure that the work gets done effectively. I would say my favorite concept, because it's the one that I've used the most, is concept 9. Good personal leadership at all service levels is a necessity. In the field of the world service, the Board of Trustees assumes the primary leadership. If you guys have an opportunity, read concept 9 on the service manual, and it'll have an excerpt from Bill W. About leadership. And that, I know from experience, that concept has changed many people's lives that I'm surrounded by it. I know my sponsor, for one, after reading that essay, went back and got a master's degree on in business because he was very inspiring. I began to study this concept when I became Al-Anon convention chair for our area. And if you're an Al-Anon like me, when you're coming up on doing maybe a big service commitment or a big responsibility, whether it's service work or not, I know for me, I get the old tapes playing, you know, you're not good enough, you can't do this, you can't do that, what are you going to do with this, and how are you going to deal with that? And concept 9, you know, helped me a lot because sometimes I don't believe my sponsor because the tapes are too loud. I don't believe my friends because, you know, the tapes are too loud. So concept 9 was very neat for me because it just told me what are these qualities that I need to develop to become, you know, a good, effective leader. And it was very humbling to read that, you know, it just said, you know, be human. You don't have to be this great, extraordinary superpower. You could just be human. We need, you know, somebody that's human, that's willing to see the flaws in things. We need somebody that's able to admit their wrongs. We need somebody that's willing to learn from their mistakes. The essay also says that we need to become attractive so that others can back us up. If you're heading a committee, that becomes very important, you know, and I know for me, I had to look personally at what qualities I had that might make me seem unattractive. You know, if I'm walking around with a grumpy face all the time, you know, that may be unattractive to people. You know, because I know sometimes I get fear-based or I get very stuck in my fear and I shut down. I don't want to look at you in the face. I want to run away. I don't want to take your phone calls. You know, if you're chairing a committee or if you're thinking about taking a position outside of the rooms, you might need to look at that. So to me, this also became almost like a 10th step for me to review. Like, how do I get to build this? How do I get to become this? It says to become a good leader, you have to be able to originate plans and ideas. And it doesn't mean that all the ideas need to come from you, but it also means that you need to be open to recognizing that ideas can come from anywhere. This is why it's important to hear the minority opinion too, because you just never know where those ideas might come from. So just be open. Just be open. Let's see. A good leader doesn't pass the buck. They take responsibility. This is very important because if you're being a part of committee or any job outside of the rooms where you're maybe a supervisor, you know, the buck needs to stop with you. You know, you need to, my experience, especially becoming convention chair, you know, people in different committees are going to be afraid. People are going to have their own fears. People are not going to be able to believe in themselves. It's going to be up to you to be the one with the concrete answers. And you may not have them all the time. You could say, you know what, I don't have that, but let me look that up for you. Or let me, you know, refer you to somebody that may have all of those answers for you. But what that means is you don't just wait around on it. You don't give it to somebody else. You know, the buck needs to stop with you. It also says that a good leader gives and takes. There's compromise. And that's a huge one. because that means not only do I need to share with you, but I need to be open to what you have to say. And if I'm open to what you have to say, I may also be open to the idea that you may be right, even when I don't like it. And that's a huge one. But most importantly, on that concept 9, he talks about that a good leader needs to have vision. And not just delusional vision. Like, I want to have this convention that's going to have 20,000 people. Realistic vision. And this is where I think this is where the magic happens, because you get to use your imagination. You know, and if you're being a part of a conference, if you have something in mind, like, how do I get out teens? How do you do whatever? You know, have that vision for yourself. How do you picture that? You know, give yourself some time, you know, in prayer and meditation. Maybe give yourself, you know, 5 minutes to think about what you want that vision to look like for you. You know, and get ideas from others. Talk to other people. See how they've done it. Talk to other states, other areas. Whatever it is that you need to make that vision possible. So concept 9 for me, it's one of my personal favorites for that. Concept 10, service responsibility is balanced by carefully defined service authority, and double-headed management should always be avoided. This means stay in your lane. You know, and we see it a lot in service, and we may do this in our personal lives. You know, if I ask you to do something, or if I task you with something, if I get uneasy about the way you're doing it, I don't just get in there and do it for you. You know, it means that I've trusted you to do that. And I need to let go and let you do that. You know, we don't need two people to do one job if it's capable of being managed by one person. That's enough. So that's the simplest way I could articulate concept 10. Concept 11, the World Service Office is composed of standing committees, executives, and staff members. You know, and we talked about what these committees are. They deal with public information. They deal with ALATIN, international coordination, budget. You know, there's no way that all this work could be done solely by the groups in one area. We have to share that out. So the World Service Office, this is what they do. When your groups ask, you know, why are we donating money to WSO? Well, this is what they do. They print literature. They coordinate with international countries. They deal with ALATIN. They set up our budget. It's a huge, huge job. And I like Concept 11 because it outlines that for us. And lastly, Concept 12, the spiritual foundation of Al-Anon's World Services is containing the general warranties of the conference, Article 12 of the Charter. And this goes into the warranties. You know, and for me, the warranties are awesome. You know, they talk about having an ample reserve. You know, a lot of people say prudent reserve, but it's a prudent financial principle, is to have an ample reserve. You know, if you look ample up in the dictionary, it means more than enough. And what I like about that principle is that, you know, God just wants us to be ourselves. And even when we are ourselves, we are more than enough for God. You know, so it just means that we get to be responsible, but we get to be responsible with great vision. You know, for me, when I came into the rooms, I had no concept of a budget. So this principle was very good for me because it reminds me that I need to have an emergency fund. And not only does it need to cover my expenses, but it may need to have a little bit just more because you never know what's going to happen. You know, it talks about, you know, the conference never acts punitive towards any member. And to me, that just made me think about how in our disease we could be very punishing and very vengeful. And it reminds me that within Al-Anon or outside of Al-Anon, we don't have that authority. You know, we don't have the authority to put any of our stuff on other people, especially other members within the rooms. It talks about we don't place any unqualified member to have authority over another member. I'm not the boss of you. Even if I have more time than you, that means nothing. It just means I may have more experience, strength, and hope in one area than you do. But otherwise, that's it. There are no bosses in Al-Anon. And I like the last warranty because it talks about remaining democratic in thought and action. And to me, that means that the organization always thinks about how we're going to remain equals in this room, you know, and to me, that's a very big part. That's a very big spiritual principle for me, is that no one's above me or below me. We're all equals in this room. And I think I'm going to close with this quote, because I think it kind of represents also the theme of this convention, and it also represents the theme of the concepts themselves. And it says, "Our personal spiritual awakening is the result of the 12 steps. Applying spiritual principles is also the goal of Al-Anon service. Through spiritual practice, we find the freedom to live courageously and joyously." Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. She did a great job. And I forgot to tell you all during the opening that each of these speakers will speak about 25 minutes, and this total workshop is an hour and a half. I forgot to tell you all that. And next we have Lynn from Columbia, Missouri.
I am a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship called Al-Anon, and my name is Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hey. I am from Columbia, Missouri, and it's a pretty cool state, so if you get up north sometime and come to Columbia, we've got lots of meetings, and you are welcome to any one of them. I have the privilege right now of being the district representative for District 8, which includes Columbia. So I consider the district my home group at the moment, and will for another year and a half. So because one of the joys of that is getting to visit all the groups and getting to hear all the great experience, strength, and hope from there. So when I got the email about talking about the concepts, I went, oh, those. Because I've been around for a little bit, and that may or may not come out in terms of how long. You know, and I've become immersed in our steps and our traditions. So I can read a chapter of something else, and I can go, oh, they were talking about step three. You know, or I can hear somebody speak about something and I can go, oh, the gist of that was tradition one. I can't do that with the concepts. And so somehow I went right to that place of, oh, I don't know them. I don't use them. But my higher power has a sense of humor. So when I started looking into these in more depth, not that I haven't read them, studied them, talked about them, I went, oh, wait, I do know these, and I have used them. And so the gift that my higher power gave me by sending me the email and saying concepts was, guess what? You know, the theme is Al-Anon's best kept secret, and that was my secret. I didn't realize that I had a little bit of knowledge about these. So hopefully I will be able to share some of that with you this morning. And kind of without going through them again, what I tried to do is look at them from the standpoint of how have I used them in my personal life. My service experience has also been somewhat at the area level in conventions, at the district, at the group level. But it doesn't go up there to the delegate and all those things. And so it's, I look at those and I immediately think, I've got to share what I know. So when I looked at this idea of ultimate responsibility and authority lies with the groups, what came to mind for me, and it actually for me the theme in all the concepts, were trust. Trust in a higher power. Trust in myself, trust in my Al-Anon family, particularly, and trust in the process of what has been developed over time that Lois created and our conference approved way back in 1984. And I don't know about you, but when I came into this program, trust was not a word I used. I didn't trust anybody, anywhere, anytime, anyhow, for anything. Alcoholism had affected me and my life, and it still does today. So trust is still an issue for me, especially with other people. Whether you're a part of my Al-Anon family or not, I can still get hit with that in the face. And so when I looked at these, it was like, okay, that's another gift for me, is this is an area I need to continue to work on, is trusting other people and trusting myself and my higher power and our process. So when I looked at concept one, what came to mind was this idea of being informed, of informing ourselves, that we have a responsibility to become informed. And I had to laugh about that because when I was growing up, my father continually tried to teach me things. Now I can't remember what it was he tried to teach me, but it was a regular basis of trying to teach me things, and I never wanted to learn what he had to teach. Partly, I think, because of all the other things that he was teaching me that he might not have been aware of that scared the crud out of me. Because I grew up in a home where the communication was screaming and yelling on a regular basis, and I hid in my room. Because that was the best place to be. And so then when you come out and say, now I want to teach you something, it's like, no. And that's what I ended up doing. It got to the point where he would say, don't you want to learn anything? And I'd say, no, I don't. So then I get here and it says, I need to be informed. That means I need to teach. I need to learn. And so that's what I started doing in this program. I started trying to learn things. I started reading the literature. I started trying to inform myself. We have conference summaries, you know, and I have people look at those and roll their eyes. Oh, man, this is that dry business stuff. I've learned so much from reading those conference summaries about what are we doing, you know, that makes sense, that put these concepts into practice. And I also get to apply it to my work, you know. I'm now retired. Isn't that awesome? Hopefully I'll get to that in a few minutes, but early retired. But I, you know, in applying that, becoming informed, where I used to work, the leadership decided there was going to be a philosophy change, huge philosophy change, right? And I don't know about your work experience outside the program, but mine was usually centered around other people's motives, lack of communication, you know, if it went well, they took credit. If it didn't, it was your fault. And I could go on about those things. So that's kind of the work experience in terms of leadership that I came into the program with and then stayed and tried to work a program in those environments. And so that's one of the reasons also these concepts are so important to me, is because it gave me that balance of, this is what it's like out here. How can I do my part out there as well? Because it's practicing the principles in all my affairs, right? So they were doing this leadership change. And I can tell you, the person that I was would have moaned and groaned to my neighbor, complained to the person next door, and continued to do that through the entire process and said, no, this isn't something I'm going to do anything with. With the concept and with concept one, talking about being informed, they had an opportunity to do a leadership training. And I said, sign me up. Why? Because I want to be informed. I want to understand why we're doing this, because I wasn't getting that information. And you taught me that I have a right to do that. That I have a right to go and say, tell me more, learn more. Who can I talk to? Who can I learn from? Who can I, what can I read? What can I ask about? And that helped me to be part of the solution instead of the part of the problem in that process. Concept two, when it talks about delegation, I had to remember that delegation does not equal assigning. So that to me is also trust. Okay. I'm no longer alone. I don't have to do it all. Thank goodness I don't have to do it all. I was also in a work environment outside the program prior. I was very new in recovery, and I got promoted. And all of a sudden, when I got promoted, I thought I had to do it all. You know, my people couldn't do it all, so I had to do it all. I ended up in a really, really dark, bad place. I was working 12 hours a day. I was mentally, emotionally, and physically ill from doing that, because I didn't understand about delegating authority and asking for help, and that I don't have to do it alone. So I just had a friend come up and say, you know, we're part of the get or done girls. That's not girl. That's not me. It's girls. That's all of us together. Okay. The other thing I used to do with that is when I'd have people over for dinner, oh, I had to do it all. You know, I had to make sure the table was set, the food was done. If you came in the kitchen and said, can I help you? I would say, no, you just go out here. And I think about how many hours of fellowship I missed out because I wouldn't say, yeah, I need you to do this. And today I can do that. Today I can say, yeah, and we have fellowship in the kitchen. If I'm not ready, it's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be black or white in this way or that way. And to me, that's concept two. Three, right of decision. This also to me means, in terms of leadership empowerment, that sometimes it's okay to say no. I don't know that we do that enough. We think about the fact that we get to make these decisions, and we empower our leaders to do that. But sometimes those leaders, their higher power instructs them to say no, and that's just as okay as it is to say yes. So, participation. To me, that's giving of myself and including others in that giving of myself. And the biggest thing for me in terms of that is sponsorship. I have the privilege and the honor to sponsor several women in this program. I have the opportunity to give of myself and include them in that process. And boy, do they give me more than I give them in so many ways. I get to do that at home as well. I'm now in a marriage where it really is a partnership, and it is participatory. You know, I talked about the kitchen and dinner. He's the chopper and the grater and the cleaner-upper, you know. So I can be in the kitchen doing something, and I can say, I need my chopper, and here he comes. And he's got his certain, don't mess with his knives, right? But he's got his stuff, and he'll do his thing, and then he'll actually say, do you need help with anything else? And I get to say yes or no. Oh, my God, participation. I can tell you, that is not the relationship I had that brought me into this program. It still boggles my mind sometimes how wonderful that is. We have flings in our district as well, potlucks. But we may change that to Sup and Shares. I don't know. That's a really cool name. So, oh, and I'm hearing a yes over here too. Those don't happen alone, you know. Those are participatory. And we've gotten to a place where the person who coordinates that, which happens to be in the room right now, goes up and says, here's this list of 20 different things. It could be longer. I don't know. 20 different things. Can you do one of those? And most everybody else said, well, yeah, I can do one thing, so that we're all participating in this process. Right of appeal, minority reports. I've had experience with that of recently in our district because we had a conflict. And it's a pretty big conflict, and it's still going on. And so we've had an opportunity to hear minority reports. And so I've gotten a chance, as well as hearing them in the area, to hear different opinions about decisions that were made. I've become very well acquainted with the reality and the truth of what a group conscience is, and that we aren't always going to agree And it's given me an opportunity to really dig into our new conflict resolution literature as well, which we've started using, you know. I remind myself, I'm in Al-Anon because I've been affected by somebody else's drinking, and we're all here for a reason. But I also am reminded that as I continue to grow and change, the voice that I didn't have growing up, I now have. And Al-Anon has given me permission to use it and express it. And so maybe more often than not, we may have differing opinions, and that's a really good thing. And I appreciate that. The conference acknowledges primary administrative responsibility of the trustees. To me, when I thought about this, we have a one big event committee. And we are grateful and have this wonderful opportunity to have a rich financial district at this moment. We have an archivist, and last month she shared from probably about 10 or 15 years ago that our district was not rich. And so we decided that we were going to try to have one big event. And bring in a speaker from outside and have workshops and do all these cool things. And so for this primary administrative responsibility, for me it was about who can we get involved that's not involved in service. So we went out and we asked individuals, would you be willing to do one thing again? And we got this wonderful group of folks that said yes. And then it was about giving them the responsibility and the authority to do their job. So none of us in the district go to those meetings. They meet themselves. I'm on the email, so I kind of know what's going on. And then we ask them to come let us know what's happening. And periodically they'll say, well, this may cost too much. And I said, then we'll go get more money, you know. We'll have something to try to help support what you're going to do. And I appreciate the fact that they're doing their thing and that we're letting them do their thing and that we haven't given them a time frame. It'll take whatever it's going to take, and whatever they come out with is going to be fabulous, absolutely fabulous. Concept 7, trustees have rights. The rights of the conference are traditional versus legal. I thought about the get her done girls, too, because if we had our way, we would be doing all kinds of stuff all the time. But see, we have this treasurer, and she tells us whether or not we can, you know. To me, that's part of the difference between the legal rights and the traditional rights. We can come up with all kinds of fabulous ideas, and then we'll turn to her and say, you know, we can have a group conscience in our district and vote to do something, and then she can say, well, we might be able to do that in 6 months, you know, or something. Or yes, that's happening today, or let's put this aside. So that kind of brings that to home for me. Routine management to the executive committees. That also to me speaks of what happens in my home. You know, that my husband and I now split out responsibilities. Sometimes we don't even talk about it. It just happens. And that is so very different than the home I grew up in and the marriage I was in, where I did it all. We truly are partners. And it's been 5 years, so I still feel like I'm in the honeymoon. But the interesting thing is, it hasn't changed. It's still there, and it continues to grow. And that, to me, is a miracle. So, you know, somebody takes care of the bills, and if I remember to put the things on the list on the refrigerator, they end up in the refrigerator. And then I get to cook what it is I want to cook, and then miraculously the kitchen gets cleaned up, and, you know, and the lawn gets mowed, and I get to work in the garden, and it's just like, huh? This unity that we have, and it's come from Al-Anon, and nothing but Al-Anon in these programs of recovery. we've talked a couple of times about wouldn't it have been wonderful for us to have met earlier. But then we also realize that our higher power put us together when we were supposed to be together and not sooner, because it probably wouldn't have worked then. We weren't ready. We didn't know that. So good personal leadership at all levels. Leadership support. What I like about this is that we're all leaders.
Ha!
When I first came in to the program was in St. Louis, Missouri, at a group in Crestwood, and I would have done anything to rub up against you because, boy, you had something I wanted. So I got to clean the ashtrays, and I got to figure out how to clean up the coffee pot. Now, I don't drink coffee, but I figured out how to put the chairs away. And then when somebody else came along, I got to show them. So I got to share leadership. And then when my sponsor said, you're going to speak, I went, okay. And I did. And she said, well, you need to be part of the AIS in St. Louis. Okay. There were other people around. They'd already done it before. So I was never alone in any of these positions. I was, you know, group representative, alternate district representative, worked on the convention committee. And then I had an opportunity to be our area newsletter editor. I didn't know how to do any of that stuff when I started, but you all said, come on, we'll show you. We'll provide you with the leadership that we were given, and it'll be okay. You'll do a human job, and that'll be just fine. Double-headed management. Oh, man. I've had multiple experiences in my work life of being serving double-headed management, and I can tell you it's not fun. It is not fun when you are reporting to one person and somebody else decides what you're supposed to do. And so I learned early the downside of that. And then when I was put into a leadership role, I worked very hard at this concept so that that didn't occur with the people that were reporting to me. And I did a good job days, and I didn't do a good job days. But it was all okay. The gift of that, I too also think, has to do with sponsorship. You know, that in Al-Anon, we work very hard not to do that, not only in our leadership structure, but we talk about personal sponsors, and we talk about service sponsors. And sometimes those can intersect as well. And so it's a good reminder for me when I'm sponsoring someone personally and maybe someone else is sponsoring them in service or vice versa, that we keep our primary purpose in focus. So the other thing I think about that is I heard a quote earlier about staying on our side of the road. And it made me giggle. You know, I'm not all well. My husband and I go to an open meeting on Sunday mornings, and he drives, and I don't like his route. And it's difficult for me on some Sunday mornings to sit on my hands and not say, we'll get there faster if you go this way, you know? I don't have a steering wheel in front of me. And luckily, he has a program. And so most Sundays, he can laugh it off and suggest that maybe it's okay if he just drives, you know. We've never missed the meeting, but anyway. And when we got married, how many more minutes do I have? Okay. And when we got married, I inherited a dog. And she's female. And my husband helped her be birthed. Hopefully that came out right. So you know that the sun rises and sets in him. And I am an annoyance. And so there are two females in the house now. And I can tell you which one thinks she really needs to be in charge. And so there's regular conversations between she and I about who really is the head female in the home. I have changed my attitude some because I've had dogs before and I know who really runs the home. But she has come to believe that I have some redeeming qualities. One of which is, she likes to have her back scratched when she gets up in the morning and I can do a pretty good job. So, and I get to give her treats and I get to give her medicine. And I say that I get to. Because she's an older girl and we don't know how long we're going to have her. And she can still argue with me. And I've never had German Shepherds, and frankly, I was pretty scared. But I've realized that her bark is really about all she's got. So that's good. So we're composed of selected committees and executives. We work together for a common goal. I liked one of the things I read that said we're organized without being inflexible. And boy, do I need that, because sometimes I can get really intense about something or something or something or something. And it's a good reminder for me that I need to be flexible. I get intense because I get scared. And so if I can acknowledge the fact that I'm afraid that I've done something wrong, I'm afraid that I've messed this up and there's no way back, there's no way out, I still get caught in some of those things. And so being flexible, and being around other people who have different perspectives that can kind of wake me up and say, hey, look at it this way, I get a chance to do that for others, and I'm happy that there are others who are willing to take the risk to do that with me. So, 12, those warranties. Oh, my. I tried to put them into my own words. One, take care of our own group. Our district needs without stockpiling. We have to give it away in order to keep it. Two, I'm not the boss. The group conscience is the boss. Three, we have family meetings on Sunday night. It talks about reinforcing concepts 3 and 4, but we have family meetings on Sunday night, and we try to seek consensus on things. We don't always. Sometimes we agree to disagree, but we communicate and try to talk things through to reach a consensus. Four, when I became a member of Al-Anon, I chose to adhere to the unenforceable. And sometimes I forget that that's what I've done when I want things to be my own way. Four reminds me that I've made that commitment, and also to place principles above personalities. And five tells me that I need to strive for democracy. Doesn't mean I have to hit the mark every time, but I need to strive for democracy just like I need to strive for growth. Balance and trusting my higher power. I was told in the beginning in relation to service that all I have to do is be willing. Sometimes I think we forget that all we have to do is be willing, that everything we need is going to be provided for us. So I want to end with this one little thought for today from our hope for today on April 10th. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies those who are called. Am I listening? Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Great job. And now, I don't know if we've saved the best for last. Her reputation preceded her, so I give you Lorraine from Des Moines, Iowa.
I'm creaky, I can tell already. Must be I'm old. I'm going to read mostly because I'm one of those people that has, older people's thinking, which is my brain just can't keep up sometimes. So I'm going to let you know my name is Lorraine R., and I am a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon, which includes Alateen.
Hi, Lorraine.
My group is the Saturday Night Step Study in Des Moines, Iowa. And if you're in town, you're going to come to one of the best meetings that you'll ever get to attend. So I'll look forward to seeing you. Call me, and I'll give you my number. I'd be glad to. Al-Anon family, thank you for the privilege of being invited to speak at Al-Anon's workshop during the 80th AA International. At first, I found myself rather timid in replying. My husband's health issues, where my hotel might be, and how much difficulty I'd have in getting here. And then guess what? Buzz, 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 buzz. Worry, worry, worry. All resolved when I realized we were staying at the same hotel where Al-Anon is hosting. My higher power is good. Here I am speaking on the concepts, Al-Anon's best kept secret, and that's P57. My husband's upstairs resting. He has some health issues. He's on dialysis, and he went to dialysis yesterday. Oh, my husband's over here, right over there. Hi, John. Hiya, honey. And my God, we were out till 12 last night. I don't know what he's doing here. My goodness. I'm so glad you made it. I want to say hi to my daughter, Katie, who talked on principles about personality yesterday, and my grandson Gabriel, who's using his iPad. Hi, Gabe. Oh, my goodness. And a shout-out to the Triangle Club from Atlanta, Georgia, where I first came into Al-Anon so many, many years ago. Now, a little more background on me. This is my 8th AA International. I've been a consistent member of Al-Anon since August 1st, 1973, 41 years. That's 2 years after the concepts were approved, and was married for the second time to my honey John in 1984, the same year that World Service Conference voted to accord the concepts the same status as the 12 steps and 12 traditions. The pamphlet, The Concepts, Al-Anon's Best Secret, came into being in 1987, formulated from articles previously published in the forum. I marvel at the wisdom given Bill Wilson, first to have fashioned from the Oxford Group's six absolutes, the 12 steps, then having the foresight to see that the groups needed a framework to function, thus giving AA, all of which Al-Anon has adapted and adopted, the 12 traditions, and then expanding that idea to address cooperation at a more universal level to produce the 12 concepts. Of course, now I see how intertwined each step, tradition, and concept is with its brothers, each one a masterpiece of support, a latticework of unity. Boy, I sound good. I'm getting to like the sound of my voice. For Al-Anon, the concepts were approved as the third leg of the Al-Anon Triangle at the 10th World Service Conference in April of 1970. In reading B31, Many Voices, One Journey, page 154, I find Lois Wilson thought the same way I did at first. The concepts are not meant for the general Al-Anon consumption, but will be a useful guide for those of the future who will manage our services. My first brush with the concepts happened at an Iowa area assembly. My sponsor, Helen W., a past delegate, past trustee, past executive committee member, who is also my personal and service sponsor, and I were sitting listening to one of our past delegates explain the concepts. And when she finished, I was glad I wasn't given a test afterwards. It all sounded like Greek to me. I'd never used the concepts. I was just a lowly GR. The concepts were for Al-Anon members in service at a higher level than me. Well, time rolled by, and my sponsor and I put on a concept workshop at a regional service seminar. We came up with the idea of using concept 4. Participation is the key to harmony as our template for posing questions, with the participants telling us which concept applied to the question posed. What an eye-opener. The Al-Anon participants were eager for the challenge, and did you know there is more than one concept to fit each question? I was coming to realize how the concepts as the Al-Anon's third leg of the triangle provided stability. Now, I still had a long way to go before I became as comfortable with the concepts as I was becoming with the traditions. The 12 steps were already my best friend, my lifeline to living in a chaotic situation. I especially found solace in step 1, as I was often at the spot of being powerless. Just keep attending Al-Anon meetings and your life is going to change through sponsorship. I always hear God's message for me when I'm speaking my experience, strength, and hope with someone I sponsor. And I found one of the fun perks of being an Al-Anon sponsor is getting to use and share Al-Anon's literature with them. Currently, my sponsees and I meet most Saturday mornings. Hi, Mary. One of my sponsees and I attend a meeting on Saturday morning at the back room of a coffee shop at 7:30 a.m. And there we are working on Reaching for Personal Freedom, which is P91. We decided to study this book by reading it in a fashion which allows us to go from step one to tradition one to concept one on succeeding weeks and so on through the rest of the steps and concepts. Now it is my privilege to share with you how I apply the steps, traditions, and concepts to my life. Concept one, the ultimate responsibility and authority for Al-Anon World Services belongs to the Al-Anon groups. My first husband was a practicing alcoholic for most of our 14-year marriage, but I wasn't able to find Al-Anon till I was on my bloody knees, which for me was after I tried everything to get him sober and nothing had worked. I'm sure you've all cried all the tears and made all your promises. I have a friend named Mary H. who said, he promised me he'd quit drinking, and I promised him I'd be nice, and neither of us kept that promise throughout the day. I demanded, I prayed, I was sloppy, and I was sexy, and nothing worked. Al-Anon was an eye-opener for me, just with the thought of being powerless over alcohol, as the first step suggests, and seeing how unmanageable my life had become, then to take a look at my contribution to the unity of my marriage, as the first tradition implies. There at my meetings, I see the beginning of the idea of my acceptance of the first concept, that I was responsible for my behavior. I had control over my actions. You see, I'd always justified my actions. If he didn't do that, I wouldn't have done this. Come home with liquor on your breath, and you give me the right to call you names, express my rage and frustration about life in general not being fair, because I was married to you. Oh, my goodness, that brings a lot back. I spent a long time swallowing the idea that though I wasn't to blame for his drinking, my actions, if I were to keep away, to step away and look at them, were not sane. Al-Anon speaks of the family disease of alcoholism. I often say I was one of the lucky ones. I married an alcoholic, and because he would just never behave, I got to come and stay in Al-Anon. In so doing, I found a higher power to run my life, and I learned to be responsible. Concept two. The Al-Anon family groups have delegated complete administrative and operational authority to their conference and its service arms. In the concepts, Al-Anon's best kept secret, it speaks of this concept as setting the democratic and spiritual framework for the fellowship. So there we were, my first husband and I, married, a unit, with duties and responsibilities. I spent so much of my time wishing I were married to someone else, praying that he would die, so I wouldn't have to take any action, blaming him for all my unhappiness, so that I never paid attention to my actions. I lived in woe is me. Where was balance? Where was wisdom? Of course, they came with the second step, where I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. The only problem being, it took a long time for me to see how I'd been affected by alcoholism, as neither of my parents drank. No, I grew up knowing that one day when I got married, I would be in charge. I wouldn't have to obey anyone, and everything would go my way. Speak about insanity. Because my plan didn't work, didn't happen, I often blame my parents. I never would have married an alcoholic if they hadn't had 9 children. There was never enough attention, enough money, enough love for me, and then I married him. Look what they'd done to me. This brought me to tradition two. I wanted to govern and not to be a trusted servant. I've come to see that in my first marriage, there was no group, no loving God, just a couple of people suffering from the family disease of alcoholism. I still remember during my first marriage having an epiphany. That's a nice word. It happened one snowy evening. I didn't care how drunk he was. It was his job to go out and shovel the snow off the sidewalks, which he did. And then I berated him for doing a sloppy job. At the meeting later that night, I was given an insight that has stayed with me. I realized that no matter what kind of job he did, it was his and didn't reflect on me. I learned to be grateful that I didn't have to go out in the cold weather and to thank him for his work. Concept two in action. Concept three, the right of decision makes effective leadership possible. I talked earlier of my complete lack of respect for my parents, and you can imagine that I had no respect for God. The God of my youth was a stupid God. I would make deals for better grades, for not being found out, for not getting punished, telling God that I would do this if he did that, and then never keep my end of the bargain. So with a God like that, I was fortunate enough to find a new God. In step three, through my trust and the faith of you, that if you believed, I too could believe, that God could and would if he were sought. My life, which had been without hope, started improving. You see, even after attending Al-Anon, I had walked off a job at noon and never formally quit that job. I'd called home that day to see if my husband had gotten our daughter off to kindergarten, and she answered the phone saying that Daddy wasn't home. I hopped on a bus and just never went back. And then I didn't answer that phone for the next 3 months because I didn't know how to tell them that I could not take care of my family and go to work. I just couldn't accept that I was powerless. That was one of the hardest things that ever happened to me. Okay. I now felt completely bankrupt, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And from that state of bankruptcy, through the auspices of Tradition 3, I found it was my trust in my fellow Al-Anon members' belief that there was a God that I started to change. I was eventually able to procure a job and go to work every day. At my Al-Anon meetings, I've been allowed to slowly form my opinion of Al-Anon and a higher power. Never was I coerced, bullied, or had anyone take me to task for my beliefs. I was allowed the right to decide if Al-Anon worked for me. I had the right of decision. Concept 3, which of course came into play much later in my Al-Anon service life also, where as a GR has explained to me that if our group made a decision with the knowledge we had at the time on a subject to be voted on at the area assembly, I had the right, when more information was presented, to vote my conscience on that issue, no matter what the group conscience had been. Concept 4, participation is the key to harmony. I began finding harmony through the fourth step. I heard recently at a meeting, you can't change what you don't know. Beginning to know me was a stepping forth in confidence to acknowledge that I needed help and was willing to help myself by taking pen in hand and writing my inventory. I was participating. I can't, God can, and I'll let him. Then with Tradition 4, I became able to consider how my actions affected other groups or Al-Anon or AA as a whole. I stopped trying to introduce roundups at my meetings or outside literature. I accepted my part in Al-Anon's unity. I also have an example on how Concept 4 can be skewed. This happened a few years back at the Thursday night step study meeting that I attend. And there we read at every meeting the steps, traditions, and concepts. So one night, out of the blue, as we were reading the concepts, the person reading Concept 4 invited the group to say it with her. It was fun. Participation is the key to harmony. It was fun. And at first. After all, we were in unity, but after a while it didn't seem as inviting. Newcomers looked confused when we chanted Concept 4 when it was their turn to read that concept. The group, at the urging of some of the older members, took a group inventory, but then voted to continue chanting Concept 4 during the readings of the concept. And I continued to attend that meeting, and when Concept 4 was read, I stayed quiet. One day the reading of Concept 4 landed at my spot, and I just quietly asked if I could read it out loud by myself, which the group allowed me to do. And you know, that meeting never chanted Concept 4 again. Someone asked me what I would have done if they had. And I replied, I'd have continued to be quiet when it was read, and if it landed at my spot, I'd ask again to read it aloud by myself. There are no Al-Anon police. Maybe. Concept 5, the rights of appeal and petition protect minorities and assure that they be heard. My experience with Concept 4 morphed right into Concept 5, which relates to the fifth step, as this was where I revealed myself to me, my God, and another human being. I was allowed to express my views without fear of retribution. Because I was able to expose my humanness to myself and my family, my Al-Anon group benefited. No matter what we say at an Al-Anon meeting, the heart listens and knows when the truth is being spoken. How I share my recovery is in speaking my truths with other families of alcoholics, which is Tradition 5. Something that was said at my first World Service Conference meeting stays resonating with me as the theme of Concept 5, presume goodwill. Al-Anon has allowed me to see that others' opinions are neither good nor bad, just different from mine, and I believe that all have Al-Anon's best interests in heart, and everyone should be heard. Concept 6. The conference acknowledges the primary administrative responsibility of the trustees. To become ready to be responsible, the sixth step came into play. I was at a place of being entirely ready to God remove my defects of character, as I'd already proved I couldn't bully myself into stop getting mad at my children, go to bed on time, or not be late for work. I was ready to focus on letting God run my life and not to try to people please. Tradition 6 is firmly planted in my mind due to my own actions. In being a nice person, I almost created consequences for others. My second husband and I, in the early days of our marriage, while out to eat, had someone approach us and ask if we were friends of Bill W. We had an AA sticker on our car, so right away I said yes. I, without consulting my husband, invited this gentleman to stay the night with us. And then we took him to a local Al-Anon club for dinner and then on to a meeting where we introduced him to our friends. I later came to find out he'd gotten the telephone numbers of some of the women he'd met. The night he spent at our house was uneasy. We knew nothing about him and heard him talking on the phone, our phone, long into the night. And that's in the day of long-distance dialing costing money. And then doing his laundry. The next day, after asking him to leave our house, I called the women he had talked to and apologized, explaining that we knew nothing about him. My ego had gotten in the way of the spiritual qualities of Concept 6 to use good judgment and take responsibility for keeping my home and friends safe. Concept 7. The trustees have legal rights while the rights of the conference are traditional. Harmonious cooperation with my God was in asking him to remove my shortcomings, step 7. So as God allows me to see my actions and stop doing what I don't like and start doing a new action, my life becomes more harmonious. To be in tune with my higher power, I had to see my need for assistance, and it is this never-ending dance he and I are in that allows me to keep going to meetings as I get out of step. I find I'll never be perfect. Tradition 7 is the action I take after humbly asking. Here is where I see myself becoming fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. I'd always thought Tradition 7 applied to my group's money, not my contributions to my self-worth, by following through on my commitments, going to work. By the action of being a member of Al-Anon, taking a service position, such as chairing a meeting, being a sponsor, etc., It is in taking action that I've learned to value myself and my qualities. I'm using the word harmonious today to talk of legal and traditional rights. How as a parent I made rules for my underage daughter and then followed through with the action I had stated would come if she didn't comply. The harmony I found in Concept 7 is in the follow through. My first husband said, "What are words?" And because of Al-Anon, I learned to say what I mean what I say, and don't be mean when I say it. And that, my older daughter, both my daughters, learned to trust me, and because I followed through on my interactions with them. Concept 8. The Board of Trustees delegates full authority for routine management of Al-Anon headquarters to its executive committees. With step 8, taking responsibility by listing those I'd harmed, opened up the door to recovery. My hurt had, intentionally or not, spread out so that I hurt others, and it was writing that list that I was able to function until I could make amends. You see, I have one of those magnifying minds that zooms in on unfinished projects and doesn't let me rest. I had to tell myself, that person's on my list, and I'll get to them. And then I could go to sleep at night. I had learned to sort things out, which is very helpful with Tradition 8. I came to hear and see what was important and not unduly value opinions expressed just by those I admired because of their degree. After all, we were all in the same room because our lives had been affected by someone else's drinking. I became aware I took pride in being able to manage... I became aware that I grew in Al-Anon. I was able to discern what I could do by myself and what I couldn't. My second husband and I took pride in being able to manage our lawn. And as his health forbade our continuing to function alone, we were able to delegate the lawn mowing to our grandson. so that our well-being was taken care of at the same time our lawn was mowed. Concept 8 in action. Concept 9, good personal leadership at all service levels is a necessity. In the field of world service, the Board of Trustees assumes the primary leadership. Of course, in my early days in Al-Anon, I went right home after a meeting on the ninth step and made amends to my first husband. Now, during that meeting, I had become aware that he suffered from alcoholism. My goodness. And hadn't sent out to ruin my life. After the meeting, I immediately ran home and apologized for how mean I had been to him. And I was dumbfounded when he didn't accept my apology. That was my first lesson that step 9 should be done with a sponsor, someone whose vision wasn't as clouded by emotion as mine was. This is a lesson that would continue with tradition line 9. As a past GR, DR, area coordinator, and delegate, I've been part of groups and committees, as well as the chair of such entities. I've always been amazed at the ideas that are generated when a task has been laid out, along with the information necessary to help the group or committee complete that task. I've also chafed at being micromanaged. Here is where my service sponsor comes in handy. She reminds me to presume goodwill and state my feelings if necessary. She also advises there is a job for everyone, but not everyone is for every job. It is in this way my vision remains clear of emotion that tend to throw me off balance. I love Bill Wilson's treatise on Concept 9, wherein he talks about a good leader having tolerance, responsibility, flexibility, and vision. Concept 10, service responsibility is balanced by carefully defined service authority and double-headed management is avoided. To be able to sort out what is going on in my life, I take a review each night in the beginning. In the beginning, I scrutinize my day, looking for any wrong I might have committed. But now I look at my day and see it as a whole. I do many things well, and for any offense, I make amends. I have balance. You know, when my children were young, I was continually being hurt by my first husband countermanding a decision I'd made for the children. For instance, they might ask me, "Can we have ice cream?" And I'd say, "No, it's bedtime." And then they'd ask their dad, and he would say, "Sure." That awful place of hurt began to be avoided when I started doing step 10. The balance I found allowed me to start reviewing my words and actions, and I was able to see that he and I needed to come together when being consulted, that I might have to defer my answer if his answer were to contradict mine. Tradition 10, which speaks to keeping the focus on myself and not creating controversy, which continues the idea of step 10 in helping me to see if I keep on doing what I always did, I'm going to keep on getting what I always got. As you can see, with the story of my husband and I as adversaries, we took no responsibility for the discord that came out of our not sharing in decisions for the children. Al-Anon, with the help of Concept 10, helped us to find a way to work together, even when he was drinking. I learned to keep my lip zipped on unimportant happenings. Well, most of the time. Concept 11. The World Service Office is composed of selected committees, executives, and staff members. See the pieces of Step 11 put together, the seeking, the asking, and the request that we have the power to carry out God's will. The follow-through on our request is what makes us attractive, as Tradition 11 asks us to be, due to our ability to carry out the joy we find by being in tune with our day. Al-Anon becomes a powerful magnet for drawing in others in need of Al-Anon, and it is the universality of not having one person attached to the idea of Al-Anon that we stay attractive. I know my behavior is not always correct, so I'm glad of anonymity. How we work together at home, even just the two of us, shows us how a unit composed of the trash taker outer, the cook, the dishwasher taker outer, and the bathroom cleaner, John and I, we are of equal importance, and we make a whole, and we respect each other. Concept 11. Concept 12. The spiritual foundation for Al-Anon's world service is contained in the general warranties of the conference, Article 12 of the Charter. I remember a light bulb going off in my head when I read the 12 steps. As it talked about carrying the message, I had a direction for all the new information I was receiving, and as always, I thought of others first. I carried what I thought was the message to my sisters and brothers. Thank you so much, and thank you again for being here today. I enjoyed talking with you.